Fashion. Fashion also reveals a great deal about the women's suffrage movement, since it gives clues as to how people functioned in society. Most women's dresses from the 19th century sought to exaggerate the natural female form, with narrow waists over wide skirts and tight sleeves that sometimes flared out below the elbow. The use of bulky fabrics and a tight waist severely restricted a woman's freedom of movement. Cumbersome clothing made it impossible for women to participate in the same kinds of physical activities as men. Fashion had a tangible effect on women's experiences of the world, which therefore carried real political implications and the opportunity to broadcast a statement. It's not surprising, then, that a new style was introduced shortly after the start of the suffrage movement: loose trousers worn under a knee-length skirt. By 1851, this new attire was popularized in magazines and newspapers, most notably in The Lily, a newspaper published by Seneca Falls resident Amelia Bloomer, figure 16, who also adopted the fashion. Her role in popularizing these new trousers gave them their name, Bloomers. Bloomers were both a fashion trend and a practical solution to women's complaints with mainstream fashion, but they were also a feminist statement. Women liked them because they allowed for greater freedom of movement, a goal that in itself suggests a feminist perspective. Unsurprisingly, the fashion was adopted by the leading figures of the early women's rights movement, including Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Lucy Stone, and Susan B. Anthony. Bloomers became a sensation and were the subject of illustrations published in magazines and on the covers of sheet music. One excellent example is the Bloomer costume, figure 17, published by Currier and Ives Lithography in 1851, which shows a young woman in an elegant lace and embroidery trimmed outfit with prominent bloomers poking out beneath a short skirt. Although the popularity of bloomers certainly changed thinking about women's dress, criticism prevented them from becoming normalized or even from changing fashion of the time. Women eventually stopped wearing bloomers because they were perceived as a distraction from the issues that really mattered. Nonetheless, a seed had been planted, and an interest in dress reform continued to simmer in American culture. It wasn't until the end of the 19th century that a revitalized interest in dress reform appeared. The revival was largely born out of an interest in a new generation of young women who were forthright in their Declaration of Independence. The new woman, as she came to be called, was educated, sought fulfillment for herself outside of the home, and was often physically active in ways previous generations never would have imagined. She rode a bicycle and played sports. She was also politically engaged and pursued a career. All of these things required a novel style of dress to fit the new realities of life for the turn-of-the-century American woman. The safety bicycle, developed at the end of the 1880s, played an important role in the evolution of the new woman. The popularity of bicycling necessitated a change in women's dress, since riding a bicycle in the restrictive clothing of the previous era was not only impractical, but even dangerous. New fashions with looser skirts that had back pleats to accommodate a bicycle seat emerged as a solution. Unlike the bloomers of the 1850s, the new style endured, changing the direction of fashion. Charles Dana Gibson captured the modern spirit associated with women riding bicycles in his illustration, figure 18, for Scribner's Magazine in 1895. At the same time that the image of the new woman became normalized, the suffragists were also learning to use fashion as a tool to advance their cause. Some of the movement's early leaders had been anti-fashion, associating such vanity with the perception of women as weak and inferior. Most, however, embraced traditional standards of feminine beauty as a way of countering the attacks of their detractors who tried to discredit them with images that depicted them as unfashionable, ugly, and old. Rodney Thompson's Militants, figure 19, is a classic example of this trope. As will be discussed in Part 3, fashion was increasingly exploited by suffragists, mainly in the context of the parades and marches that became common features of the movement in the first decades of the 20th century. They wore white because of its association with purity, as well as the other official colors of the suffrage movement, purple and yellow gold. Suffragists also dressed in vaguely medieval and militaristic costumes, alluding to Joan of Arc, the medieval martyr who was adopted as a symbol for a number of women's causes at the turn of the century. In the context of both pageantry and everyday life, women's fashion then changed with the rapidly modernizing lives of American women who sought out new fashions to achieve greater freedom. Thus, fashion both reflected change and helped to bring it about in the suffragist fight for independence. By the turn of the 20th century, there was no returning to the hoop skirt and the restrictive world it represented.